Everybody, welcome to our midweek service, and that's where we are tonight. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to share some things with you that if you're a believer tonight, some things that you have, and just want to re-encourage you with that. Those of you that may, as someone said, found God and found Christ, but if you've not, maybe you might hear some things in here prayerfully that the Lord will use to bring you to Christ. But want to share with you tonight some things that hopefully will help you and remind you that just and urge you to continue to be the believer that God's called you to believe to be. And Barb, we have been praying for you, and so I know I have on my own time, and it's good to see you with us tonight. So it's good. So it's never fun when you don't feel well. It's just next day's not so good. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Peter tonight. And if there's someone you haven't seen for a couple of weeks, don't forget to give them a call and let them know that you miss them. Let them know that you love them. And if you can't say the word love, let them know you like them a lot. And God will work with you on learning how to love people. But there's some people that's maybe been missing from time to time, so you need to make sure you give a call out. People need to know that they are loved and that they are missed. Now we're going to look in here and we're going to see what Peter's talking about. I just want to remind you that 1 Peter, 2 Peter can be kind of hard sometimes. It seems like Peter can be kind of hard at times, but he does it in a hard way at times, but he still loves us. And God uses these for us to grow. And some things in here can be a little more difficult to understand than some of the others, but we'll work through what we need to work through tonight. But chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." There is something that we have as believers that the world doesn't have. We have a living hope. We have a hope that's not dead. It's not a hope that just comes inside of me because I want it to be. It's a living hope. It is a hope that is inside of you because you have the Holy Spirit, because you have God as your Father and Jesus Christ as your Savior, but there is a living hope inside of you. It is alive. It is real. And this living, this hope is something that you can't put your hands on it, but it's something that is inside of you. It is something that God has given to us, but it is a living hope through what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What Christ did on the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection is the power. It is that Christ has all the keys. Christ is the Son of God, and he resurrected, and that resurrection offers us the gift of salvation. And through that, what that does is give us a living hope. It's not a hope that expires, but it is a living hope. If you do not have that living hope tonight, you are living in your own hope. And your own hope will shipwreck you sometime in your life, because it is not real. It is only goes so far. It is your hope. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough to have your own hope. But the hope that we have is in Christ Jesus and Christ alone. It is a living hope. It's not a false hope. It's not a short hope or a long hope. It is a living hope. It is a guaranteed living hope. So that living hope is something that I have as a believer. If you're a believer, you have that tonight. You walk around as the most powerful people in the world, not because of what you own, not because of the name that you have, but because who resides inside of you. You are a target for the dark one, the dark side, Satan and his demons. You are a target to them because you live for Christ. You are called to be the light in the darkness. You are a living hope. Wherever you go, you are to share that living hope. That living hope help others to reach out to that living hope. How do they get it? Well, you're able to share the name of Jesus Christ and what Christ has done in your own life. That offers, and you're offering others, that living hope. Folks, we need to be sharing that living hope more and more with others. Because everyone has a death date. Everyone has a birth date. But also, once you're born, everyone has a death date. You're not sure. You don't know when that day is. But I'm telling you, the death angel does. The angel of death does. There's nothing you can do to change that. I don't care if it's medicine. I don't care if it's someone that has this, that. It doesn't matter. When that date is there, that date is there. The only one that can change those things is God himself. And we have a living hope. And that living hope is the real deal. It is the real deal. That's why I can sleep at night with all the stuff that's going on in the world. Even though it's a big fat mess in the political world, it's a big fat mess on this ball of mud, All these politicians across the world, all these kings and queens and presidents and all these individuals. My peace is not in them. My peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is a living hope. It is an everlasting hope. It is a hope that no one can steal from me. It is my hope because my hope is in Christ. And Christ has given me that hope because I've taken a hold of His hand and asked for that salvation. So me and Him have a relationship. There's a partnership. He's been grafting me into the family. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Does that make me cocky? No, but that makes me know I know where my living hope is. So I can go to bed and put my head down on the pillow regardless of what goes on in my own life or the world around me. That life, the eternal life, is bigger than what you see here. You see, you only have a few years here, whether it's 50, 80, maybe 104 or 5. Maybe you get a long span in human terms. But everlasting is everlasting. And it goes on and on and does not stop. My living hope goes on and on and on, and it does not stop. And the scriptures continue to go on. He says in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Wow. What Jesus is saying, what the word is saying here, is that if you belong to Christ and you have that living hope, there is an inheritance for you. Then no one can steal it. It won't fall apart. It won't break. You can't sell it. You can't buy it. And it's something that God's given to you. It's an inheritance that's going to last forever. Inheritance that we get here on the earth, usually it comes in the form of property or money. Sometimes people inherit debt. But there's ways around that. But if you inherit money, whether it's $500 or $5,000 or $500,000, I guarantee you this, you'll probably burn through it because you're not used to that kind of money. Most of us are not used to that kind of money. We would burn right through it. But even if we don't, there'll be a day that you're going to pass away. And if you saved it and you did all that and it collected interest, guess what? When you die, it's no longer yours. You can put it in a trust fund. You can do all those things, but it's no longer yours. But the inheritance that God gives to His believers, once we get into heaven, that inheritance is yours forever. Well, what I can tell you right now is that I just learned two things about my life with Christ. I have a living hope. I have an inheritance. Those are two major pieces. I am glad I am saved tonight. I'm glad that it's not just about the salvation, but what comes even after and with salvation. It's incorruptible. It does not fade away. It's reserved for me in heaven, which means there's a place for me in heaven. And if you're a believer tonight, there's a place reserved for you in heaven. And if you are not and do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, there is not a place for you in heaven. It's not because I don't want you there. It's not because I'm not telling you. It's because God's word tells you and tells us that it's not for you. For it's only for the children of God, those who come to a place in their life and receive Jesus Christ. Their inheritance is reserved in heaven, and it has your name on it. That's awesome to know. That's awesome to know. It doesn't matter how old you get. Because in the spiritual world, when we get into heaven, when we get with the Lord, I want to tell you, age don't mean anything. There's no wrinkled skin. There's no pain. There's no suffering. There's no spine problems. There's no cancer. There's none of that. Listen, God's not going to allow any of that into heaven. There's no diseases there. Scripture even says that He will wipe away all tears. It's joyful there. It is a peaceful place, and to be able to worship God Almighty, and it's a place of peace. The world knows nothing about peace. People wake up and hear the news, and they stress out. No wonder why. They hear all the things that's going on in the country. We got the right side, the left side, the inside, the outside, the ups and the downs, and this and that, and this network and that network, and this going on and that going on. And no wonder why the world is committing more suicides now than they've ever done. More people are going to drugs because they can't handle it. More people are getting divorced because the arguments of just seeing each other and more and more. The world is a mess. But for those who have Christ, if we keep our eyes on Christ, I'm telling you, you'll understand what the living hope is. You'll understand what the inheritance is. Does that mean that bad things don't happen? to God's people? Of course not. What's it say in verse 6? In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. We've been through some hard things. I have been through hard things as a Christian, and you, some of you have too. And if you really look at your life, we've all had some hard things in our life. Some of those things we created ourselves, but some of those have been natural things, part of the world. Some of those things other people have done to us. But here it is, it's only for a little while. We can rejoice that we make it through, because we don't let those things determine our end game. It is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't fool yourself thinking you can do life without Christ. You can't. If you could, you'd be in a much better situation than you are. And I'm not talking about having things. I'm talking about inner peace. I'm talking about having real freedom. You see, I have a freedom. And if you're a believer, you have a freedom that the world doesn't have. The world wants to bring you in into its arms, and it pulls you in. And it puts you in the bondage of some type of sin where you feel like you can never get out of. But I want to tell you, the one that can get you out of it is Jesus Christ and Christ alone. But you're going to have to do it His way, not your way. If your way was working, you wouldn't have these problems. He says in verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, here we go, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor the glory at the revelation of Christ Jesus. It's your faith. What do you believe? And even if you say, well, I don't have as much faith as you have. Well, I remember Jesus saying, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, that you could take this mountain and throw it in the sea. All you got to have is some faith. And I believe that every believer, God gives us a measure of faith. That's what Scripture tells us in the book of Romans. But there's a measure of faith given to us. Christ gives you a measure of faith so you can make it through. There is no excuses for us as believers not to make it through. Because we have Christ in our life. We have the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. You walk around this world. You walk around with it as one of the most powerful people in the world. How? Because when people have problems, you have the ability to do something that they can't. You have the ability to connect with God. You see, God's not going to hear their prayers until they come to Christ. But those who have Christ have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to speak, and you'll be able to pray over things that they wish that they could pray over, but they don't understand it because they don't have Christ. You'll be able to pray over people. Let me tell you, I've seen people that pray over situations, and the only way that they get through is because people pray for them. Now, they are held without excuse because they know that people prayed for them. Situations and circumstances were changed. Yet some people choose not to follow Christ. But Christ answers because His children prayed for that person. Let me tell you, when you pray for somebody, don't just sit there and lack the act and not use the faith. You got to pray. When you're praying for something, you got to have faith that it's going to happen. If not, then your faith is just falling right in front of you. This is not prosperity preaching, but this is preaching to where and teaching where that if your faith is real and you have a relationship with Christ, I'm telling you, your prayers become powerful. If you're walking in the will of the Lord and you're doing and you're living the way that God wants you to, you're not perfect, but you're living on this side of heaven the best you can. You're going to have mess ups. Now I'm telling you, your prayers are powerful. But if you're not walking with God, but you have a relationship with Christ and you're falling away, your prayers are very, very weak. Funny thing is, if you had children and you could bless them, you would bless them all. But if there was one that didn't listen to you, one that was running away from you, that went against everything that you taught was good, you have probably not going to bless them as much. Be careful that you not become a rebellious child of God. Because then the hammer comes down and God's discipline comes. And people don't like it. But there's a reason for it. God disciplines us because He loves us and to get us back in line with Him. But our faith is more precious than anything else. Our faith is precious because it's that power that God uses inside of us to change situations, not only in our own life, but also in others. When people ask you to pray, don't tell them, okay, I'll pray for you later. Pray for them right now. Because we have the ability to forget. All right, I'll pray for you when I get a chance. We'll forget. Take that person's hand, touch their shoulder, and pray over them right there and then. People are looking for hope. I'm telling you, people are looking for hope. And if we walk right by them with the Holy Spirit inside of us, and we'll walk right by them, and we refuse to acknowledge and to pray over people, we need to be praying for people. This should be a dangerous place when it comes to for the dark side, the evil one to look at, because he can say, this place is a house of prayer. This place ignites their faith. People come to the place where these believers keep praying for lost people to come to Christ. You have to ignite your faith. You have to ignite your faith. And you can't live off my faith. I can't live off your faith. There might be times that I may need you to pray for me, or you might want me to pray for you, and we can lean on each other, but I can't live off your faith. We can team up together on some things and combine our faith in Christ, but we cannot live off each other's faith. You must have your own faith in Christ to whatever measure He has given to you. And even if it's small, remember, even if it's small as a mustard seed, you can still do, and God can do through you what the world could never do. But he doesn't finish. He continues on in verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. You haven't seen him? Have you seen him physically? No, that's what faith is. Believing, knowing for sure that it's real, even though you don't see him, but you know, you feel him, you know. And as you grow in Christ, you begin to understand and be able to understand and know and tune in to what is Holy Spirit and how he speaks and what he speaks. You'll know his voice. But you can't explain that to the lost because they don't know. But those who are saved know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me now. If you do not know the voice of the Holy Spirit and you are saved, you have a spiritual problem. You're not as strong as you think you are. You're not as grown up in the Lord as you might think that you are. Listening to the Holy Spirit is not that the Lord is quiet all the time. He doesn't say things. God has a lot to speak to. And he speaks through the Holy Spirit and through his word. But even though we haven't seen him, we love him. And now we don't love him because we love him. We love him because he first loved us. And when we came to Christ, we found out that our sins could be forgiven. And we felt that power of the Holy Spirit at salvation. We felt him forgive us of our sins. We felt a love that we've never experienced in human form. Even in human ability. This is something that was spiritual. And we began our belief, and we began to believe. We may not understood it all or still understand it, but we believe. And we trust in God, and we trust in Jesus Christ, and we trust in the Holy Spirit. And we're letting things that we don't understand, we leave those things to God and not try to be God. And the world is telling us there is no God. What was it, 68 or 69, Time Magazine says God is dead. Some of y'all remember that? Right on the cover of Time Magazine, God is dead. Well, that was a lie from the pits of hell. God has never been dead. God is alive. But Satan will lie to you. He doesn't want you to know the truth. And once you become and you know the truth and you become a child of God, as you live your life and you struggle through this world and you live your life, He does not want you to share what you have with others that don't have Christ. You see, there's a lot of religions in the world. There's Buddhism, Hinduism, Allah, there's all these things. But there's only one that's persecuted. And that is Jesus Christ. Why? Because Satan knows he is the real deal. You see, Satan has seen God face to face. He has talked to God face to face. Satan doesn't care about all these other religions because they all lead to hell. There's only one that doesn't, but it leads you to the inheritance, to the living hope, and the resurrection. And that is Jesus Christ. So the only one that's going to get persecuted is the one that's real. And that is Christians in the world. He goes on in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith and the salvation of your souls. We know in the end that our faith comes to the end of the goal is our salvation in Christ Jesus. Goes down to verse 15, but as he who has called you is holy, here we go. One of the hardest verses, I think, in the two books of Peter. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. I want to tell you right now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been sanctified. You've been set apart. You've been set apart for Jesus. You've been set apart for God. You've been set apart. You have been set apart because you've come to Christ. You've taken the gift of salvation. Now your conduct needs to start changing. Let me tell you, God loves you right where you're at. But he loves you enough not to leave you there. He wants to take you into a full relationship with him. Take you and begin to build in your life a new creation to what he wants to use you for. You've already lived for the world. Didn't work out so great. You found that moment where I got to turn, I got to change. I need Jesus in my life. And you come to that place and you ask Christ to come into your life and to forgive you of all of your sins. But he doesn't leave you there. He begins to start working on you. He accepts you and all your junk. He accepts you, all your lust and all your filthiness and all your bad stuff. He takes you and he wraps his arms around you and tells you that he loves you. And you hug him back and he begins to work on some things. And this scripture tells us that we need to be reminded that even though we have some things jacked up in our life in the past, we need to remember this, that he is holy and we are called to live holy. There is the challenge to be holy, to live holy. People say, I can't do that. Of course you can't. You can only do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So you must lean on the Holy Spirit. You can't do anything spiritual. You can't do anything to please God without the Holy Spirit. Come on, am I in a Baptist church? I'm just telling you, we can't do anything that please God without the Holy Spirit. But he says, be holy. Don't care where you came from. Don't care what you look like. Don't care anything else. If you have Christ, be holy. Start living holy. Turn off some things that ain't good. Stop listening to some things that ain't good. Change some things in your life. Start working on it. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will work on you and convict your heart and convict you in some of your life, and he'll start chipping away. God don't clean it up all overnight. Now, he'll forgive overnight, but he'll clean you up all overnight. But he starts to work overnight. The work does get started. But we're in a process of working through it our whole life. Because that old devil comes around 20 years later. He's around all the time. But there's these moments in his life when he just gets right in front of your face. And he puts some things in front of you. I want to remind you of something, because I think some of you have been down this road. Some of you have probably been a Christian maybe 5 years, 10 years, maybe even 20 years, and have come to a moment like, I wonder if God is really real. I wonder if he's really real. Man, all this stuff. But you know what? We ask that question, but what comes up inside? Oh, he is. That's the Holy Spirit reminding you in your moment of weakness, oh, I'm here. And you begin, it's like, man, what was I thinking? He's real. Because the Holy Spirit will bring up, remember where you were when you got in this car accident. Remember where you were when you had this. Remember when you were in that moment where you thought you were going to take your life. Or in that moment you were going to do this, where this prayer request was answered, and this prayer was answered, and that was answered. And you begin to say, wait a minute, what am I thinking? Yes, of course God is real. And it wasn't because you said it, it was because the Holy Spirit reminded you of what He's done in your life since the day of your salvation. Now I also want to remind you that even the great John the Baptist had a moment in his life when he was arrested in jail for doing good things. That he even asked his disciples, will you go see to make sure Jesus is really the one? He knew it. But we get there sometimes. We get there sometimes. But the Holy Spirit will remind us, oh yes, He's real. And we see this in verse 18. And knowing that you were not redeemed, whoo, you were not redeemed without or with corruptible things. No, you were not redeemed by the things of the world, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers. It wasn't any rituals, little ceremonies. That's none of that stuff redeemed anybody. What was it by? But with the precious blood of Christ. That's it. By Jesus shedding His blood on the cross, that's how we're redeemed. Brought back, redeemed to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. As a lamb without blemish and without spot. Folks, I don't care. Don't not listen to the world. They know nothing about God. All you got to do is watch some of the movies they make out of the Bible. They mess them all up. Jesus was blameless. It's the only way He could be the sacrifice for all mankind. He did not sin. If He sinned, He would be just like you and me. But He did not. He was a lamb without blemish and without a spot. He was perfect because He was God's Son. And then he goes in verse 21. Who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. That's where our faith and hope is in tonight, is in God, because of Jesus Christ. That's where my hope is in tonight. It's not in the presidency. It's not in the governance seat. It's not in the politics. It's not in religion. It's not because you got a good last name, even though some of us would want to change our last name. It is only in Jesus Christ. My faith is in God. And my hope is in God. And that's it. Don't add anything to it. Because when you add stuff, you're moving God out. When you start putting other things in, you're moving Jesus away from it. I'm going to end with this in chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. We're called to grow. Don't be one, and don't be a new believer trying to be a Christian of 50 years. Enjoy the process. It can be brutal at times, but enjoy the process. You're not going to understand a lot. The first step about being a believer is this: trust God. Trust Him. Trust Him and His Word. But the Word of the Lord endures forever. Trust in the Lord. I have a living hope. That I know tonight, I have a living hope. I have an inheritance. I have a faith. Regardless of the measure of it, I have a faith that is more precious than anything on the world and in the world. I know I have my salvation in Christ. I'm called to be holy because I'm different now. I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, I'm somebody. I'm somebody. You ought to be somebody. Quit talking about your past and start talking about your future. People don't want to hear your past. People don't want to know always where you've been. They want to know where you're going. Because a lot of people have the same stuff in the past. They can simulate. They can understand. But what you got in the future, they don't know about. Start sharing the future. I have a living hope. I have an inheritance. I'm a child of God. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Man, I'm part of the family. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I will see Jesus, not as a judge, but as a Savior. Amen to that. I know who I am in Christ tonight, but I'm asking you this. Do you know who you are in Christ tonight? And if you're going through some rough times, I want to tell you, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they know about rough times. They know about rough times, not because they've had it. Jesus has. Because they've been dealing with people since day one. There is no new problem that they have not seen. And they're experts. God is an expert on forgiveness. He knows how to love someone better than you could ever love anybody. Because he knows how to love people that don't look like you. He knows how to love people that are sinful. He knows how to love people who's been evil. Because Jesus didn't come for the sick. Or for the healthy, he came for the sick. And folks, before we come to Christ, we're all sick. I'm somebody tonight because Jesus is somebody who made me a nobody into a somebody. And his salvation is for anybody. What are you going to do with Jesus? Because he's real. He's real. You got to quit playing. You got to quit playing. Let God be God in your life. Father, as we get ready to stand, I just pray, Father, your Spirit to move upon us in a way that only you can. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand tonight.